Blog Talk Radio.
How did we just stop hearing you? I'm not sure. It's bizarre. Okay, let's see here. I'm just trying to figure out. I don't know. Blog Talk Radio has kind of changed their interface a little bit, so I really have no idea what is going on. Can I hear you? Can you talk now? Okay, that's mute.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Oh, there you are. Okay, I can hear you.
You can hear me. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. You can hear me.
I don't think there was any, there was like no intro music, I don't think, so I was a little confused.
I just did Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, hi, everybody.
Yeah, really. Hi, everyone. Wow.
They're really rolling in today.
Yeah, it's like, this is just a new low in our technological problems. We don't even have our guest on as yet. It's just like a disaster. But it's all good. Anyways, yeah, so today we are talking all about radical self-care and how it can change your life. And our guest is Claire Baker, and she's a health and life coach who specializes in helping women live their dream lives by showing them how to take exquisite care of themselves physically and emotionally. And
awesome.
She has just arrived. So
on the line now.
I know, this is very exciting. Hopefully this works. Hi, Claire.
Hello.
Hi, it's Nicole and Nat.
This is fun.
Claire, we have had some technical issues, so we're live. And we are really excited to have you on the show today. We were just introducing you and what you do, but maybe what we can do rather than us talk about that is maybe you can tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay, so I'm Claire Baker, and I work with women who are looking to improve their health and their happiness and discover more about who they are and explore their creativity and self-care and all kinds of lovely things like that. I've written a few ebooks, and I'm currently working my way through the first round of my first e-course with a bunch of beautiful women, which is awesome. And I host workshops around Australia. And I live in Perth in Western Australia, and yeah, that's
awesome. And I was lucky enough to first meet Claire, one of the first times I went to Perth, but we connected, what do you reckon, Claire, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and I think, you know, you had a particularly beautiful story, and I'd love it if you don't mind sharing along the lines of, you know, hormonally what happened and how you came to do what you're doing today.
Sure. So, yeah, I think it was a couple of years, at least 2 years ago now, Nat. So at the very beginning of 2013, I decided to come off the contraceptive pill. I'd been taking it for about 10 years, and I predominantly went on the pill when I was about 16 for my skin, because I just had terrible, really bad acne from about 12 or 13. And so I decided, I saw a doctor, saw a dermatologist, and they suggested I went on the pill. I also went on Roaccutane and a whole bunch of other antibiotics, and everything would work for a little while, even up to a couple of years, and then it would just come back with a vengeance. And at about 21, a doctor told me that really the contraceptive pill was the only thing that was going to work inevitably, and I pretty much had to come to the realization that I needed to stay on that forever. Of course, if I wanted to ever have children, he suggested to just be prepared that my skin was just going to be horrendous. So I did. I believed that, and I stayed on it. And then I really started to clean up my diet and my lifestyle a little bit around, you know, 25, decided to take a bit better care of myself, as I think a lot of women around that age. And it suddenly just felt really out of alignment that I was still taking this medication every day. Just didn't feel right anymore. So I experimented previously with coming off it, but every time I had in the past, it just ended up with me just breaking out. So I did a little bit of research, and that's when I first came across Nat's work. And I started kind of putting the pieces together that maybe if I started to really watch what I was eating a little bit more and start eating more of the right things, not drinking, you know, as much as I had been, cutting out sugar, all of that stuff, you know, watching even the way I was exercising, that maybe I could control the way my body responded when I came off it. And, you know, it really did pay off. It actually still kind of blows my mind that I've been off it now for, what, you know, 2.5 years, and my skin is amazing. I mean, every around, you know, when I get my period, I'll get a couple of spots, but I mean, it's nothing compared to what it used to be. So it has been really amazing to see the way that I can actually, yeah, really learn about hormones and the way that lifestyle affects that. And so then that has really led into the work that I do with a lot of women as well, and looking at, you know, what slight tweaks, often it's not dramatic things that we can do to just change what we're doing in order to just keep our body, you know, in a better harmony.
So awesome. It's so, you know, something that I know that so many of our listeners are keen to hear, more so just the reassurance, wouldn't you say, Nicole? Like, just that there are so many people in the same boat. You experience the same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Claire, when you were talking about your story, I mean, that all I was saying was like, check, check, check. Sounds so familiar to me and so similar to what I went through as well. It seems that, you know, these problems tend to show up like in our early 20s for so many of us. And it takes us a little bit of time to figure out what we need to do. And I find that a lot of people go through the conventional medical route and then realize that it is, you know, it's just, if there's a limit to what they can do for you. And then you have to sort of strike out on your own and try and, you know, figure out what, you know, what works for you uniquely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it was, you know, such a, you know, coming off the pill was a whole nother learning curve again. So, I mean, there was the whole period leading up to coming off it, and then, you know, coming off the pill, discovering that my period didn't want to return, you know, it took 12 entire months for it to come back after actually coming off the pill. So that was just a whole nother learning curve again. Mm-hmm. But there was so much to learn about myself and my body in that time. So as frustrating as it was also a real gift too.
And I think I remember that time, Claire, and you were, you know, I mean, such a beautiful example, because Claire was patient and she was so observant with the changes that her body was showing her that were enough for her to know that she was on the right path. And I think that that's really encouraging for a lot of women, because it is scary to come off the pill for so many women, and especially when your period doesn't arrive straight away and then you kind of, you know, I remember when that all happened, Claire, and I can't imagine what that would feel like, but I see it happen every day in the clinic. And, you know, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that with our listeners in terms of, you know, what that was like and being patient, because I know that's really difficult, but kind of trusting in the process.
Yeah, it was for scary, you know, it was really scary. So even though, you know, I had been on the pill, I really probably only had 1 year of a natural cycle before I went on the pill. So I'd never really experienced what it felt like to have a cycle, and a really, really natural one. And it was the weirdest thing to just suddenly not have anything at all. And I really started to worry about my fertility. No, I wasn't planning on having children anytime soon, but it was that feeling like, oh my gosh, what if I can't? Like, you know, you get online and you read some scary stuff when this happens. And so I was, yeah, pretty terrified for a little while there. But I sought out some assistance through my friend Amy O'Brien in Perth. She's a doctor of Chinese medicine and herbalist acupuncturist as well. And she's just phenomenal. She really guided me through that process, and having her support and her encouragement really made, you know, being patient so much easier. And that was something that she really did instill in me. And I can't recommend, you know, seeking out holistic health practitioners and support. It just, it makes such a difference. And so I saw my GP through that time, and she had ultrasounds, and that was where I had the diagnosis of PCOS. So I really think that, you know, more knowledge that you can get from all realms, you know, in the health and wellness world is important. So, yeah, patience, you know, little things along the way, like you said, Nat, there was little things like I noticed that my skin was really looking amazing. So even if my period hadn't returned, I could tell that something was different this time. Like my skin really did really look amazing. And, you know, changes in my body, in my breast, like I could really feel that there was something happening. And, you know, stress played a really big part in that. It wasn't until I think that I really let go of being so attached to my period returning that it actually did return. You know, it was 1 month where I just said, you know, whatever, like I'm just going to stop stressing about this. And that's when it came back, which, you know, really surprised me. And the other thing as well is was also just getting really exploring that area. So I just started seeing my partner there, and then I was having, you know, more regular sex than I'd had in a while, and I think that really helped as well. So I think that for women, like exploring that area and being intimate there too, and just getting to know your body in that time, just watching the things that are changing, like in your fluid, and just learning as much as you can without being so attached to your period returning, I think a huge element of trust has to come into play here in a big way.
Yeah, totally.
Seriously.
And
yeah. Oh, sorry, Nat.
No, you're right, love. I keep on because I just love Claire's story. I keep on prompting more. I'm like, Nicole, you're not here.
It's okay,
Take
Nat.
Take away,
you
my
do
friend.
What you need to do.
Let it all
no,
out.
No, I was just gonna say. In terms of, you know, in terms of like what we were going to talk about on this episode and, you know, and what seems to be quite a specialty of yours is this concept of radical self-care and how it can impact your life in a really positive way. And, you know, and just like looking at your site and what all you do, you know, like, is there, you know, like in terms of like this taking excellent care of yourself, the concept of this, like how has that helped, you know, helped you on this journey?
Oh my gosh, it's been so, so integral every step along the way. And it's looked different. And this is something I find is really important with self-care is that there's a lot of talk about self-care online, you know, and morning routines, and we want the, you know, the 5 or the 10 steps. Like we want someone to tell us exactly what we need to be doing, like what the formula is. But I really believe that it's different for everybody. And not only is it different for everyone, you know, what makes you feel good is different to what makes me feel good, but it changes all the time as well. So, you know, when I think back to the things that I was doing then, you know, quite frequently, like I said, you know, getting acupuncture, you know, fortnightly for a really long time. Today, that kind of looks a little bit more like, you know, once every few 3 or 4 months even. You know, I was doing a lot of yoga then. That was really helping release, like bring my stress levels down. And now not so much, you know, I've been exercising in a bit of a different way. So I think it's important to just really, with self-care, to tap into what makes you feel good, because when you feel good, you know, your stress levels decrease, you know, you feel amazing, you're more likely to make more positive choices for yourself. You just feel more like you. And I think that's so important. When your body is doing things that maybe you don't quite understand or you're feeling frustrated by, you know, as I really was, and I'm sure lots of women who come off the pill or who are diagnosed with PCOS or struggling with acne, you know, it's really frustrating. You feel almost like your body kind of betraying you, and you feel out of, you don't feel like you're in the right shell, I guess, sometimes, like you just doesn't feel right. But doing things that make you feel like you know, getting back in touch with the kinds of things you love to do when you were a kid, having fun, you know, being creative, just taking exquisite care of yourself every day, like heading to the beach if that's your thing, or making sure you exercise every day, eating good food, you know, avoiding processed stuff, you know, is just really going to bring you down in the long term. So I really recommend my clients to just make a list of, you know, 10 things that make them feel really good, you know, and just commit to doing one or even 2 things off that list every day, and to just constantly check in, like, does this still make me feel good? If it does, great, I'm going to keep doing it and keep committing to it. And if it doesn't, then, you know, it's time to try something else. It's such a process of experimentation, self-care, and to just always be honest with yourself and always want to do right by yourself.
Beautiful.
I love that.
The Yeah, me too. I think the other thing I'd love to hear is, you know, obviously, and you sort of touched on this, but there is a lot of fear around when we get a diagnosis, and often we act out of fear, or we kind of retaliate almost, and just do whatever we're told to do at the time because we don't know any better. I'd be keen to just sort of understand, you know, how you dealt with that, and was that the case when you first diagnosed? Was there a lot of fear around it, and how did you kind of nurture that into something that became a driver as a positive rather than somewhere that was kind of that negative approach?
Yeah, there's so much fear. Absolutely. I think my entire life I'd never really questioned whether or not I'd be able to have kids, or whether I'd be fertile. It was in my mind. I just figured, yeah, of course I was. I mean, I spent so much time trying to not fall pregnant.
Well, how old, sorry to cut you off, but how old were you when you were diagnosed?
26.
Yeah, right. So you're not really at a point where you're ready to have kids, but you kind of are thinking about, you know, your future. And I guess there are a lot of women that are diagnosed when they're like 19 and 20, and I know that's the furthest thing on their mind, so that kind of, I guess it's a different thing. But, yeah, sorry, keep talking. I was just keen to understand.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so 26. It was about 26. And exactly as you said, I mean, I wasn't thinking about having kids at that point, but, you know, it's not in the too distant future at all. So, yeah, there was a lot of fear. I really started to worry that maybe that would be my reality. And like I said, you know, it's easy to jump online and forums are just riddled with fear. And even in the blog post, because I began to write about it, because that, for me, has been, over the last few years, one of the best ways for me to express how I'm feeling and to connect with other people and share what I'm learning. So I wrote about it pretty quickly on my blog, and I've been kind of updating that journey over the last few years as well. Just recently did another update with things. So that helped to just write about it. And I find with fear, you know, getting it out of your body and either onto the page or screaming into a pillow or just verbalising it to anyone else, whether it's a friend or a coach or whatever. So that really helped just to kind of see it, and for not to just sit in my mind and under my skin. So I wrote about it. That really helped to connect with other people who had gone through or were going through something similar. I mean, I still get so many comments on that original blog post and the subsequent ones, because there are so many women who are experiencing this and maybe aren't talking about it, or maybe think that there's something really weird or wrong with them because their body hasn't just, you know, jump started back into a natural cycle after coming off the pill. So writing about it and talking about it, that really, really helped. I mean, it also helped to kind of walk myself and talk myself through the scenario. If it turned out that maybe I can't have kids one day, then, you know, what would I do? And I find always looking at like the worst case scenario might sound a bit morbid, but it actually does help for me to really think about that and to realize like I'd be okay, you know. And I've been through, you know, looking back at other times in my life where I've faced some scary stuff, and I'm still here and I'm still okay. And just reminding myself, you know, that it's all right. Whatever happens and whatever's going to happen, whatever is planned, you know, for me, then I can handle that. And I think, again, like I said earlier, so much trust has to come into that. Getting support from friends and family and from, you know, other health practitioners, and just building that little network behind you of people who kind of know what you're going through. And then when, you know, when it did come to really celebrate the fact that my period and my cycle returned, you know, it was like a period party. Like, it was just so exciting, and I had all these people to celebrate it with because I had shared it and I hadn't kind of just kept it to myself, you know, boiling away in fear and uncertainty.
A period party.
Yes.
I love it.
We're having one
I
now.
Really love what, I love what you said about just about, you know, having almost like a team, because I really feel that that's what we need. And, you know, with my private clients who I coach, and even in my group programs, I always try to instill this idea that you should have, you know, a group of people who almost, you know, like a web of support, so to speak, whether that's an acupuncturist and, you know, maybe a functional doctor or a coach or something like that. And then, of course, like friends who you can really count on to help you work through, you know, the health challenge that you're facing. It's really, I think that that is uniquely feminine.
Totally.
Yeah.
I spoke about that last week. I call it your cheer squad. You've got to have your cheer squad. You know, that team
it's
of people
what?
Who are so excited about it. Pardon?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear what that word was.
Oh, I said I call it your cheer squad.
Oh, yeah.
Your cheer squad. And if we can establish who's in that, and they're going to be just as excited about you getting your period as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, exactly. For sure. I mean, it was so exciting, you know. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. I think that sometimes people feel like there's something to be ashamed of, that their body, you know, it hasn't just jumped right in. But I had to remind myself that I'd been on the pill for 10 years. And it was almost unrealistic to expect, you know, my body to just know what to do. And of course it did, in its own time it did that. But just to be really realistic, you know, for 10 years my body hadn't, you know, ovulated or had a natural cycle. So I really needed to give it the space and time that it needed to do what it needed to do.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing,
what
too,
about?
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, there, Matt. Okay, go ahead.
This is the problem with two people who are talking. It's all good.
Two
go
people
for
that
it.
Have all the questions.
I know. Seriously. It's all good.
Go, Nick.
Okay. Well, no, I was just going to ask about, you know, I really liked what you talked about, what you talk about in your posts and on your site about this idea of living at full volume and you know, feeling lit from within. I like both of those terms a lot. And I feel like so many women look at other women and say, oh, I just wish I could have so-and-so. And you know, my circumstances don't allow for that. Like, do you have any comments or advice on that? Because I know you said, you know, you were one of those people at one point and you've changed it around completely.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I really think that whenever it's natural human nature to compare ourselves and to look at what other people have, and if that is in line with something that we desire, then, you know, we can tend to jealousy and feel like we don't have something that they have. I think, gosh, you know, I think that if you feel that way, then you already do have that. I mean, I really think that if you desire something, then it is already within you. Maybe you just haven't acknowledged it or looked at it or expressed it in a little while. So I think that comparison and that jealousy trigger can actually be a really powerful tool, like a compass, you know, pointing you towards yourself almost, you know, like, do you feel triggered by that? Do you feel without when you look at something that somebody else has? Then perhaps, you know, that desire is lying dormant within you, and now it's asking you to look within yourself and realize that, you know, you're enough and you're actually really awesome, and you've got so many gems and so many stories and insights and experiences and gifts for the world, that maybe you just haven't spent enough time looking within you and too much time looking at the outside world. So, yeah, I think that we all kind of walk around often feeling like somebody else has so-and-so and this and that, and particularly with social media these days and even, you know, blogging, it's easy to get sucked into this facade of what, you know, what we don't have compared to what other people have. And, you know, it's just a load of bull, really. I think that we're all awesome in our own way. We all have our own mess. You know, we're all struggling with something. We've all got stories and we've all got beautiful gifts. You know, we're all doing really well and we're all also struggling. So I think that it's important to be really honest with yourself, and if you do feel like there's something that you want, then go and get it. You know, life is short. It's so short. And there isn't enough time to just be, you know, sitting around feeling down because someone else has something that you want. If it's really important to you, then, you know, they probably worked hard to get it. So, you know, you can do the same.
I love that. You know, it's so funny. I got, I always have heard this advice, compare leads to despair. And it really is true, especially when you think about the whole online world, because we can create this whole story about a person's life based on what we see on Facebook and Instagram. But really, at the end of the day, just you have no idea. So it's always best to just come back to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We really don't have any idea. You know, a few little shots on Instagram and few status updates on Twitter or Facebook. They're just, you know, they're great and they're great to connect, and I'm not at all, you know, condemning social media. I just think it's important to be really aware of the reality and that you can't compare your processes, you know, and your the life that you know because you're living it, to someone else's product, you know, to this to the finished product that you see polished and, you know, perfected online. There's, you can't compare that. They're two very different things.
Totally. Sure.
I agree. Yeah. So just quickly, because we haven't got much longer left, but I know that I really wanted you to sort of just talk a little bit back to the physical around your skin and what happened and how that improved. Because I know that a lot of women in the same position, that's their biggest issue is their skin. And I think it's obviously because it's something that, you know, other people can see. And again, it comes back to what you're talking about as well. You feel like everyone else, you know, it's a bigger issue for you than it is for everyone else, but you're living that. So how was that transition? And as you got your body back on track, I just want to hear about what happened there and what you did.
Yeah, sure. So just more like geared towards my skin and how that's been.
Yeah, I think we I've kind of had spoken to people, and one of the reasons, you know, with PCOS obviously comes acne is one of the most common symptoms that is seen. And I know that you mentioned it earlier, but I just think a lot of our listeners would be really keen to understand what you did in terms of managing your PCOS and how that helped to clear your skin up as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So again, it comes down to experimentation, and I think I've had to be, you know, you've got to make mistakes sometimes too along this journey to realise what doesn't work as well. So for me, I know that if I have a late night, anything, and I say late is really anything past 11 p.m. and definitely anything after, like, say, midnight, my skin will break out 2 days later without fail, without fail. It's just every single time. And that was something that I never in my wildest dreams would have ever thought would have anything to do with my skin, you know. Like, never had I thought that. But when you begin to learn how our hormones work and when certain things are reset and rebalanced, then, of course, it does make sense. But I think that that for me has been so enlightening because I never realised that, and I've always been a bit of a night owl, and I've just had to reset that whole system. And so as long as I'm asleep before 10, then generally my skin will stay quite harmonious. Sugar is a really big one that I notice affects my skin. If I do have, you know, a bit of sugar, then that will definitely affect it. Eating lots of fresh food and drinking lots of filtered water has been a real constant over the last few years. And I know that that, not only with acne, but just the condition of my skin as well, you know, staying hydrated, that's just really a non-negotiable now. Other things would, you know, definitely be stress, like I mentioned. If I've had a stressful month, then I notice that when I do get my couple of normal breakouts around my period, which I don't get too stressed about, you know, it is what it is, they'll be much worse. They'll be more of, they'll be, you know, quite big and red if I've had a really stressful month. So that's been interesting, and that's also played out in my cycle. I'll get like a quite heavy or quite, you know, painful period if I know I haven't really been taking care of myself that last cycle. And I actually love that because it's a way to, you know, for your body to communicate with you. And I think that's just been, and with my skin and with, you know, balancing, you know, the cramping, which was another whole thing to go through when my period came back, you know, figuring out how to work through that. It's just been every single thing has just been an opportunity for me to get to know more about how my body works and all of its intricate systems, things that I knew nothing about, you know, four or five years ago. So for me, I mean, I'm a very curious and inquisitive. I love to know more about myself, Claire, and how my body works.
We have only a couple seconds left, so we have to wrap up really quick.
Okay, no worries.
Oh, so sorry about that.
So I just say, you know, be curious, be inquisitive.
Pardon?
I would just say, you know, be curious, be inquisitive, get to know your body and just figure out, you know, with your skin, what triggers it, what doesn't, what works, what doesn't.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on with us today. This was really, really great. And thanks, Nat. Are you still there, Nat?
I don't know what's
going on with the technical. You are. Oh, yeah. Thankfully. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for being with us today. Claire, thank you again. And it was really an honor to have you on today.
Totally. Thanks, Claire.
Pleasure. Thanks so much, Claire. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.